Good evening. It's a pleasure to see all of you tonight. This evening, we're going to be looking briefly at the idea that Jesus Christ prays for you. I don't know how often you think about that aspect of who Jesus is and what Jesus does, but the reality is that Jesus, right now, at the right hand of God the Father, is praying for you. And so what I want to do is read just two Scripture passages as we get started that brings this idea into the forefront from Scripture. And then we'll be looking at several Scripture passages that talks about and looks at how Jesus is praying for us. And so just listen to these verses. If you want to open to them, I'm going to be jumping around quite a bit in Scripture. So if you want to warm your thumbs and fingers up, you can do that. But I'm going to start by reading Romans 8, 33 and 34, and then I'm going to look at Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. So hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word from Romans. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Intercession is prayers for us on our behalf. Listen to this passage from Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. But he, Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now let's go to God in prayer and ask for his blessing upon our time tonight as we look at his word. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing Jesus Christ to us. We thank you for showing us how he left the glory of heaven to come and dwell in our midst, to live among us, to die at the hands of wicked men, and to be raised again from the dead for our justification. Lord, we thank you that you have raised him up and have seated him at your right hand. And we're thankful, Lord, that he continues to make intercession for us. And we pray that that would comfort our souls tonight. We pray that you, by your Spirit, would minister to our hearts tonight by your word, by your truth, and that our lives would be changed because we see Jesus better. We pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, as we think about the person and work of Jesus Christ, we usually talk about the three offices that Jesus has as our mediator, as our Savior. We talk about Jesus being our prophet and how he communicates God's word to us unto our salvation. We talk about Jesus being our priest, how he is the sacrifice for our salvation. And we talk about Jesus as our king, the one who rules over us and reigns over us and protects us and leads us to glory. And tonight I want to focus on that aspect of Jesus being our priest. And when we think about Jesus as priest, usually we tend to restrict that to what Jesus did on our behalf at the cross. And Jesus as our priest is the one who offered a sacrifice to God for our sins. He is the one who satisfied the wrath of God, who placated the wrath of God. Jesus was the priest who offered the sacrifice. But Jesus is also the sacrifice who is offered. So he, being the priest, offers himself to the Father as a sacrifice, being the propitiation for our sins, the wrath-satisfying sacrifice for our sins. And then Jesus finished that work and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father, as the writer to the Hebrews says. But I don't want our thoughts about Jesus as a priest to stop there or to end there, because as we heard from Romans and from Hebrews, that Jesus continues on in his role as a priest, doesn't he? It wasn't just his act of sacrifice, but he continues on as a priest in that he prays for his people. Jesus right now is praying for his people. He's praying for you. But what are the kinds of things that Jesus prays for? What is it that Jesus right now is asking the Father on your behalf as you live in this world as you go throughout your life. Well, one of the ways that we can get an understanding or glimpse into what Jesus prays for now in heaven is by looking at the kinds of things that Jesus prayed for while He was on the earth with His people. And so John Murray talks about looking at Jesus' acts of heavenly intercession to give us a good idea of what John Murray talks about how we need to look at Jesus' earthly acts of intercession so that we better understand Jesus' heavenly acts of intercession, His prayers for us. And so that's all I want to do for you this evening is look at several of the ways in which Jesus prayed for His people while on the earth to understand how He prays for you and me right now. And so we're going to look at some of those passages tonight. The first one I want to look at is Luke 22, verses 31 through 32. Luke 22, verses 31 through 32. And in this, I hope you will see how we have an unfailing faith because of what Jesus prays for you. Jesus, in this passage, is speaking with Peter. And Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." So in this passage, Jesus tells Peter that Satan has asked to sift him like wheat. Satan has asked to have Peter and to shake him up in such a way that he would turn his back on Jesus Christ. That his faith would be so shaken that he would forsake Jesus and utterly and completely reject him and turn his back on him and on the God whom he serves. Satan wants to assault Peter to turn him away from Jesus Christ. And friends, Satan isn't finished with this kind of work in our world, is he? He continues that task in the world and in our lives. The world, the flesh, and the devil continually attempt to sift us like wheat, to bring difficulties into our lives, to shake our lives up, to cause us to turn our hearts against Jesus or turn them hard against Jesus. They assault us. They try to get us to forsake Him and His kingdom. But listen to what Jesus says to Peter. He says, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." And friends, that's one of the ways that Jesus prays for you now. Jesus right now is at God's right hand praying that your faith would not fail. Though you are tempted, though you are tried, though you suffer, though you are attacked by this world, by your own flesh, by the evil one. Your faith will not fail. It is a gift of God given to you, and Jesus Christ Himself sustains your faith. Even in the darkest moments, even in the most dismal hours of your lives, Jesus is holding fast to you and to your faith. Psalm 37 talks about the steps of a man are established by the Lord for his delight, and though he stumbles, he will not fall down. Because the Lord holds him tight. God is holding on to you, and He's doing so because Jesus Christ is praying for you that your faith would not fail. I hope that's a comfort to you. That sometimes when you feel like you're faithless, God is faithful. And He is praying for you. Another way Jesus has prayed for you is found in John 14, 16. Turn to John 14, 16. We see here Jesus talking to the disciples. And Jesus tells them, He said, "I will pray to the Father that He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." And so here Jesus tells His disciples, He tells His people, that He is praying for them to the Father, that God would send a helper to them, a comforter to them. He tells them that He will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to them, to be an assistant to them, a helper to them, a comforter to them, an advocate for them. And that's exactly what Jesus does for you when you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus turns to the Father and says, "Father, send the Spirit to this one." And the Spirit comes and dwells within you. And the Spirit lives among you, bringing to you the presence of Jesus Christ Himself. The Spirit which testifies to your spirit that you are children of God. A Spirit that lives inside of you when you are going through such a deep trial and difficulty in your life that you don't even know how to pray. You can't think of the words to utter to God because you're having such a hard time. The Spirit intercedes on your behalf. It's that same Spirit that lives in you and leads you in the way that you should go, convicts your heart of sin. When you're engaging in sin, it taps you on the shoulder and says, "Listen, this is not the way to go. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, but go this way. Follow after the Lord." It's the Spirit who grants a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the Spirit who produces His fruit in our lives that makes us more like Jesus Christ. Jesus has prayed for you that you would receive this Spirit. He who lives and abides in you makes you more like Jesus. So Jesus has prayed for you that your faith would not fail. He has prayed that the Holy Spirit would come into your life. And we also see in John 17:17 that you would be sanctified. It would be changed into being more like Jesus Christ. Listen to what He says to the Father. "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And so Jesus has a great desire to finish the work that He started in you. When Jesus died on the cross for your sins, He saved you from the penalty of sin in your life. He saved you from death. He saved you from hell and from the curse. But He also wants to save you from the power of sin in your life. To help you, to cause you to put to death the deeds of the flesh. To help you to live unto righteousness. And so He prays to God the Father, "Father, sanctify them. Change them. Make them into what You have declared them to be. You've said they are righteous in Your sight because of what I've done. So Father, transform them. Make them holy as You are holy. Sanctify them, Father." And then He connects that to His truth. He says, "Father, use Your truth to do that. Use Your word to do that." And so Jesus now prays that His word, the Scriptures, would be the means by which you can be transformed more into the image of Jesus Christ. That's an incredible thing, isn't it? When you wake up in the morning and you see your Bible sitting on your nightstand or on the shelf, that Jesus is in heaven praying that this would be used effectually to change your soul, to change you more into Jesus Christ. What power is in this book because of what Jesus prays for? The work of the Spirit of God using His Word to transform your life. An incredible treasure we have. Jesus has prayed that you would be sanctified, and He would be sanctified by His truth. So pick it up. Read it. And read it with confidence. Read it in faith that Jesus is praying for you as you read it, that you would be changed. Pick up your word and read it. Let's continue on. Jesus prays for you that your faith would not fail. He's prayed to send the Spirit into your life. He's prayed to sanctify you by His word. But we also see that Jesus prays that, and because of His prayers, that we would never be separated from the love of the Father. Turn, please, to Romans 8:33-39. Romans 8:33-39. And listen how to this passage of how we're not separated from the Father because of the way Jesus prays. Romans 8:33-39. "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." And so Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. Now, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. In this passage, we see that the prayers of Jesus, the intercession of Jesus Christ, is intimately connected with you never being separated from the love of God. Jesus, right now, at the right hand of the Father, praying for you, that you will always remain with Him and with the Father. And that His sacrifice was sufficient for you, that there is no legal grounds for you to be taken from the Father's presence. But Jesus prays for you, defend you and guard you and make sure that there is nothing in this created world, in heaven or in the earth or under the earth, can remove you from the Father's presence. There is nothing in this world that is more powerful than Jesus Christ, is there? There's nothing in this world or in the heavenly realms that is more powerful than the prayers of Jesus Christ. Jesus prays for you that nothing will separate you from the love of the Father. What a comfort that is, isn't it? You can't even take yourself from the presence of the Father. Your faith will not fail. The Spirit lives in you. He is sanctifying you. You'll never be separated from the love of the Father. And with that, you will never lose your salvation because Jesus prays for you. Hebrews 7:25, we read it before, hear it again. Because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Because Jesus is praying for you, you are saved for all time. Again, that work he began in you when Jesus saved you, when he started that work, he will bring it to completion in glory. You will not lose your salvation. He is the author and finisher of your faith, and his prayers play an important part in that. He prays for you that your walk would be consistent, that it would push toward him, that it would follow after him. He would not ultimately turn away. You will never lose your salvation because Jesus prays for you. These are just a few examples, and I hope they alone can satisfy your soul to see and know that Jesus prays for you. I hope this brings you comfort and peace in your walk through this world. But I want to point out one other thing that I think brings even more comfort to know that Jesus prays for you. It's the fact that Jesus, as your high priest, as your intercessor, and sympathize with your weaknesses. He knows what it's like to be like you. He knows what it's like to live in this world. Turn to Hebrews 4, 14 through 15, and listen to what the writer says. The writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 15, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And Jesus, as your priest, has an intimate knowledge of what it's like to live in this world. He has an intimate knowledge of what his people experience in this life. And Jesus' prayers for you are not just a set of abstract prayers. They're not just generic prayers for a generic group of people, but they're specific prayers made on your behalf. They're made for you. See, one of the reasons Jesus came to this earth was to be the sacrifice for his people. A human had to come and live a perfect life and die a sacrificial death to satisfy the justice of God. Jesus had to come. But one of the other reasons Jesus came and lived among us was that he would better know how to relate to us. He would better know how to pray for us because he was one of us. He came as one of us. And because of that, he knows how to pray far more intimately than he would otherwise. And Jesus became a man and experienced the things which we experience. And just think about Jesus' life for a moment. Jesus lived in Nazareth. It was a despised town, a poor town. You can imagine Jesus being tempted to become discontent with his situation and be envious of those who had more around him. And Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted in those ways, to go without some things sometimes. Jesus worked hard as a young man, as a carpenter, following after his father. Jesus knows what it's like to work hard, perhaps being tempted to grumble and not wanting to work, not wanting to apply himself. And then as Jesus grew and he began to preach, becoming popular, healing people, casting out demons, performing great miracles and signs, his popularity grew. Jesus being tempted to pride or arrogance. And then as Jesus began to become despised by his followers, even his own family, his brothers, casting them aside, Jesus is tempted to become alone and feeling very isolated and left by himself. And then Jesus experiencing the physical suffering that he did, the weariness of the pain and misery that he had to go through. He knows what that's like. But he also knows what it's like to suffer emotionally, doesn't he? He knows what it's like to suffer spiritually, doesn't he? And we've been there, and so has Jesus. And because Jesus has been there, he knows better how to pray for us in these things. He is not distant from our troubles. But he is a man of sorrows. He became a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, so that he might better relate to us and better pray for us. And just think of how comforting it is when someone comes to you and says that they're praying for you. They know the situation you're going through. You've poured out your soul to them. And they said, I will pray for you. And that's an encouraging thing, because you know that they're going to go to God and pray for you. Even if they haven't been through the situation that you've been through, it's a comfort to know they're praying for you. And it's sufficient for us to know that Jesus is praying for us when we go through what we're going through. But how much more meaningful is it to have someone come to you and pray for you who's been there, who knows what it's like to suffer as you have, who's gone through the same kinds of experiences that you have, who knows what it's like to struggle with a relationship with their parents or with their spouse or with their children or their brothers or their sisters or their friends. They've been in that circumstance before. And they can say, yeah, you know, I know what that's like. And this is what I'm going to pray for you, because I know you're feeling this. I know you're thinking this. I know you're struggling with this, because this is what I went through. And they pray for you in that way. That's a real encouragement, isn't it? That's how Jesus is praying for you now. Again, not just a set of abstract prayers, but Jesus has walked on this earth. He's experienced the pain and the misery of this life, the temptations that we all face. He knows what it's like. And he's standing right next to God, your Father, right now, praying for you and everything that you're going through. Jesus, your high priest, your intercessor, praying for you. So whenever you face the difficulties in your life or the struggle with the situations that you're in or the circumstances that no one else seems to understand, know that Jesus, your loving Savior, is praying to God for you, for those things, about those things that are hurting you, about those things that you're struggling with, because he's been there. He knows what it's like. And because you are his beloved, he will never forget to pray for you. But he will always bring you before the Father. We know that the Father always hears him. Jesus says in John 11:42 to the Father, I know that you always hear me. And so Jesus' prayers for you are always heard by the Father, and they're always answered by the Father. Praise be to God, we have such a Savior. Jesus, your faithful high priest, forever lives to make intercession for you, so find comfort in knowing that Jesus right now is at the right hand of God Almighty praying for you. Let's thank him for it. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. He not only died on the cross for our sins, but he lives right now and he's speaking with you right now about us, about me, about the people gathered here. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep this truth in our mind as we go throughout this life, as we go throughout this week, as we go from, from job to job, from classroom to classroom, as we talk with our friends, as we are alone and we struggle with our sin. Remind us that Jesus is praying for us and encourage our souls with that truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name and pray. Amen.